Welcome to History in a Year, America's first 250 years.
Join us every single day as we journey from the Revolution of 1776 to the 250th anniversary of the United States.
You can find every episode and join the discussion at pointedwords.com. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
It is February 10th. Welcome to episode 41. Yesterday, we watched George Washington crush the Whiskey Rebellion in Pennsylvania without firing a shot.
But while that was happening, a much bloodier, much more desperate war was raging in the Ohio Territory.
We have to set the scene. In the 1790s, the Northwest meant Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
On paper, the British had given this land to the United States after the Revolution. But in reality, the Americans didn't control a single acre of it.
It was controlled by the Western Confederacy. This was a powerful alliance of Native American tribes, Shawnee, Miami, Delaware, Ottawa, and others, who had come together to stop American expansion.
And they had brilliant leadership. The Miami War Chief Little Turtle and the Shawnee Chief Blue Jacket. These men weren't just warriors, they were strategists.
And they had help. The British were still there. They still occupied forts like Detroit and Fort Miami's near modern Toledo. They were secretly supplying the Confederacy with guns, powder, and food, encouraging them to kill American settlers.
President Washington had tried to take the land by force twice, and both times, it was a disaster.
In 1790, he sent General Josiah Harmar. Little Turtle ambushed him and sent him running back to Kentucky.
In 1791, he sent General Arthur St. Clair. This was the worst defeat in the history of the U.S. Army, worse than Custer's last stand.
St. Clair's army was annihilated at the Battle of the Wabash. Out of 1,000 soldiers, 900 were killed or wounded, 90% casualty rate.
When Washington heard the news, he famously threw his dinner against the wall and screamed, "He's worse than a murderer. How could he answer it to his country?"
So in 1792, Washington needed a new general. He needed a winner. He picked a man from the Revolution who was known for being brave, aggressive, and maybe a little unhinged.
Mad Anthony Wayne.
Wayne was a Pennsylvania tough guy. He got the nickname Mad Anthony because of his reckless courage at the Battle of Stony Point. But despite the nickname, he was actually a meticulous planner.
He told Washington, "I will not fight until the army is ready."
He spent 2 years building a new army. He called it the Legion of the United States.
This is important. This wasn't a militia. This was the first professional American army. He trained them to march, to shoot, and most importantly, to use the bayonet.
He drilled them relentlessly. He taught them how to fight in the woods. He marched them into Ohio and built a chain of forts. One of them he named Fort Recovery, built right on top of the bones of St. Clair's dead soldiers.
Little Turtle watched Wayne coming. He realized this was a different kind of enemy. He told the other chiefs, "This leader never sleeps. He is like a black snake."
Little Turtle actually advised the Confederacy to negotiate peace. He said, "We cannot beat this man." But the other chiefs, led by Blue Jacket, called him a coward. They voted to fight.
So Little Turtle stepped down as Supreme Commander, and Blue Jacket took over.
Blue Jacket chose the battlefield carefully. He picked a spot near the Maumee River, near Toledo, where a massive tornado had recently ripped through the forest.
The ground was covered with thousands of fallen trees. It was a tangled mess of trunks and branches.
He thought the fallen timbers would be perfect. It would provide cover for his warriors, and it would make it impossible for Wayne's cavalry to charge. Plus, it was right next to the British Fort Miami, so if things went wrong, they could retreat to safety.
On the morning of August 20th, 1794, Wayne's legion marched into the trap.
The native warriors were hiding behind the logs. They opened fire. The front line of American troops took heavy casualties.
But Mad Anthony didn't panic. He knew exactly what to do. He realized that the enemy was spread out in the timber, reloading their muskets.
He ordered a bayonet charge.
He told his men, "Charge with the bayonet. Don't fire until you flush them out from behind the logs. Then pour a volley into their backs as they run."
The legion surged forward. The discipline was terrifying. They scrambled over the logs, screaming. The native warriors, seeing a wall of steel coming at them, broke cover and ran.
And as they ran, Wayne's cavalry, which had flanked around the sides, cut them down.
The battle lasted less than an hour. It was a rout.
But the true tragedy happened next.
The surviving warriors ran toward the British Fort Miami's. They banged on the gates. They begged their British allies to let them in.
The British commander, Major William Campbell, looked down from the walls. He saw Wayne's army approaching.
He knew that if he opened the gates and let the natives in, it would be an act of war against the United States. He wasn't ready to start World War III right there in Ohio.
So he kept the gates closed.
The native warriors were stunned. They were trapped between the closed British gates and American bayonets.
That betrayal broke the heart of the Confederacy. They realized that the British had used them. They had promised support, but when the chips were down, they abandoned them.
Wayne marched his army right up to the British fort. He and the British commander insulted each other, but neither side fired a shot. Wayne burned the native cornfields right in front of the British walls to show his dominance.
The war was effectively over.
The next year, 1795, the chiefs gathered at Fort Greenville. They signed the Treaty of Greenville.
They ceded most of modern-day Ohio to the United States. They gave up the land that would become Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland.
It opened the floodgates. Thousands of settlers poured into Ohio. The Northwest Territory was finally American.
But for the Native Americans, it was the beginning of the end in the Midwest. Little Turtle spent the rest of his life trying to live in peace, but the wave of settlement was unstoppable.
So Washington had secured the West. The Whiskey Rebellion was crushed. The Indians were defeated.
But there was one big problem left. The British.
They were still attacking American ships at sea. They were still impressing American sailors. War fever was rising in Philadelphia.
Washington knew he couldn't fight Britain yet. He needed peace. So he sent the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Jay, to London on a secret mission.
Join us tomorrow for Episode 42, The Jay Treaty. We see how John Jay prevented a war, but brought back a treaty so hated that mobs burned him in effigy and threw rocks at Alexander Hamilton.
I'm Leah.
And I'm Stephen. You can find every episode at pointedwords.com. And this is our story.